Classic rap song to change the niggas' life. Always worried about the critics who ain't never fucking did it. I write what's in my heart, don't give a fuck who fucking with it. But in a sense, I can relate. The need to be great turns into an obsession and keeps the nigga
up late. Yo, what up,
fam?
It's your boy, Big Mike, man. Big Mike drop is going to begin here in a few moments, man. We're running a little bit behind the day, but we got a special show for y'all tonight, man, so please tune in.
Somebody should have told me it would be like
the name of this show is The Crisis in Black Leadership. Let me turn this J. Cole off. I don't want to catch a copyright charge, man. But this song was so fitting for the occasion this evening. And I just felt like listening to it before the show. So, yeah, we're waiting on Miss Ronnie to come in, man. And we're going to go ahead and get started. Let me see what's going on with her. All right, she got the mic. All right. So, yeah, man, tonight we're talking about the crisis in Black leadership, man. And, you know, I was just thinking, man, Black History Month, you know, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance every February, man, and it's kind of the same thing. And we kind of just are frozen in a certain decade in time, I feel. And, you know, that's strange to me. We don't have any new leaders we can really celebrate because everybody's sellouts. And I'll just keep it a buck. Everybody's sellouts, man. Everybody's on the take. And we're seeing that even on a micro level. And tonight we're going to be talking in depth about the Pritchett, Alabama Water Board and Sewer Board, or Water Works and Sewer Board scandal. And we're going to have some good conversations tonight, man. Hopefully we'll have a couple of people stop by tonight to give their expert opinions on what's going on. We got a lot of resources for this show this evening. So it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. So, you know, just give us a few moments, man. Like I said, we're going to, you know, we're going to get started. And I might go on, throw on another selection for you. I might throw on another selection for you while we wait. Let's see here. Let's do a little Stan Getz, man. I love Stan Getz. Not Stan for Eminem, Stan Getz. I got to excuse me, man. I'm not really, I'm a one-man show over here at the Big Mic Drop, so. This is La Fiesta by Stan Getz. Y'all check that out. Maybe y'all can hear that. I don't know. All right, we're going to go on and get started. Let's do this. Let's go live. The mic drop.
Beat me up, Scotty. Beat
the mic drop.
Absolutely nothing wrong with them. I can prove it. Of course there's something wrong with him. He's a Negro.
The mic drop.
2-10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big Mike Drop. I'm your host, Big Mike, and we have another action-packed show for you this evening. Another action-packed show. The name of this show is The Crisis in Black Leadership. The Crisis in Black Leadership, and unfortunately, we have a pretty good case study of the breakdown in black leadership. We're going to talk about it, and I already kind of did the intro on the radio show. But I guess I can repeat the same thing for y'all. I think during Black History Month, we find ourselves stuck in a valley of romanticizing past heroes and whatnot. And in the process of doing that, I start wondering, like, where are our present heroes? And who are our present heroes in the black community? Who are our leaders? Who are the people we look for or look toward to represent us and lead us in this situation? And, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but they're few and far between. You know, we're way past the days of the civil rights movement and those civil rights figures, you know, going into politics. Now, a lot of our leaders are, you know, self-driven, ambitious, power hungry, just like the enemy in the past was. Have we lost touch with one another this much that we can fail in leading one another or fail in being able to trust and follow one another? This Pritchard Water Works and Sewer Board, that's the legal name. This Pritchard Water Works and Sewer Board scandal is a prime example of the failure in black leadership, a violation of public trust. And it's not just happening on the local level. This is happening all the way up to D.C., to the national level. We got that guy, Carmen Warren, in this thing. Ronnie's on her way, man. Ronnie running a little bit behind tonight, man, but she's going to get on. We're going to take the show slow tonight because we have a lot of information, a lot of information. And I wanted to start out with a couple of trending stories. First off, I'd like to say pipe shit is some bullshit. That's the only way I can say it. I'm sorry. I got to get started. Joe Biden in the Health and Human Services Department, you know, with wanting to distribute drug kits to people, allegedly. Now they're backing off of the story saying that they never said that they were going to distribute crack pipes. But it's pretty prevalent in the news right now. So, of course, I think they would be trying to back that down. But according to sources, let me find this source real quick. Yeah, Joe Biden, crack pipe. I didn't want to read anything, but I guess I'll read it. So let's go with the New York Times. That's the paper of record, right? So this is the New York Times, and this was written today by Linda Key, and it states that Republican lawmakers, conservative news outlets have accused the Biden administration of planning to give out pipes for smoking crack cocaine. Their claims this week refer to a provision in an overdose prevention program announced in December. The program provides funding for safe smoking kits, but it makes no specific mention of glass pipes. Okay, so they're going to play this game. In response to the outcry, Biden administration officials denied offering funding for such pipes. Here's a look at the facts. The program funded by the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package enacted last winter, which Pritchard got no parts of, by the way. We're going to talk about that later. Pritchard, Alabama, got no parts of. Oh, man, we got Ronnie LaDue. She's backstage, man. Looking amazing. Hold on, man. Let's get Ronnie on this thing, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie LaDue in the building.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Man, you got the whole blowout.
Trying to make sure I can hear y'all.
Yeah, yeah, come on. Let's go on, get in here.
Let's go on, get in here.
There we go. I can hear you now.
All right, cool.
Uh-oh,
I can hear myself coming back now.
You hear kickback from me?
Yeah, everything I say comes back.
Okay, so hold on a minute, Mike. I'm going to leave the studio for 1 second.
Go ahead. All right, we'll get you back in.
Stop my Bluetooth and put these damn...
We'll let Ronnie LaDue get technical things going. Man, it was kind of a worse day today, man. It's Valentine's Day. I don't know, for those who know, you know, I'm in the flower business. And, it's been kind of hectic, man, this last week. So let me get back to it. The program funded by the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package enacted last winter will provide about $30 million in grants for harm reduction programs, which aim to reduce the personal and public health effects of drug use. There is no specific mention of crack pipes in the grant application materials. Under the guidelines, grant recipients are required to create harm reduction action plans, distribute overdose medication, help curb the spread of infectious diseases, and purchase equipment and supplies to enhance harm reduction efforts. So, safe smoking kits are listed as one of the allowable purchases. The grants also provide funding for disease and drug testing kits, wound care supplies, condoms, syringes, and vaccines. In the fact sheet, the program, damn, how big is this package? Let's see. In the fact sheets, and like I said, this is the New York Times. You got to take it with a grain of salt. Very liberal paper. Very liberal paper. But where was I at? In the fact sheets about the program, the Department of Human Health of Health and Human Services said that it did not expect grant recipients to purchase all of the listed supplies. The grant guidelines do not specify what smoking kits should include. Papers, blunts, perhaps. According to Harm Reduction International, a London-based non-governmental organization, such kits can contain rubber mouthpieces, brass screens, lip balm, disinfectant wipes, and glass stems, the crack pipes in question. So it can provide glass stems. The contents can vary based on the organization distributing the kit, as well as the state and local laws on the distribution of drug paraphernalia, which means that it's not going to be able to be distributed anywhere, because I think it's illegal everywhere to have drug paraphernalia. And that was my first question. What happens when you get pulled over with said crack pipe that Joe Biden sent you? Because they were going to send crack pipes before they got the blowback. Somebody really thought this was a good idea in D.C., and somebody decided to co-sign and roll with that. Don't be fooled. Let's see. Moreover, smoking kits are not specific to crack cocaine and can also be given to users of methamphetamines and opioids. Okay, so it's a meth and opioid smoking program. But where did the racial equity come in the original statement about this? See, that's what kind of threw me off is, you know, okay, you want to distribute, you know, crack cocaine smoking kits to people so, you know, you can stop the spread of diseases and whatnot. But then you bring in and throw in racial equity. And I'm like, And then I started thinking about my senators, my Congress people. Who voted for this? Who voted to spend this money on this, to earmark this money on this, and to put that title on it of racial equality during Black History Month? They did this during Black History Month. Is that all that they think about us? Is that all that they think about us? Let's see. We got Ronnie back in the building. Ronnie.
What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's up? That's a lot better. That's a lot better. Ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie to do one more time.
Hey, y'all. I'm back. Got it together finally.
Man, look, man. It was one of them nights, man. But I feel like this is going to be a hell of a show once we get into it. I'm actually talking about Joe Biden with the crack cocaine stems.
It's like
the program.
Wants people on crack. Why is he doing that?
I think they want to give some people something safe to smoke their fentanyl in. Because it seems like, you know, they taking crack people out, man. With the people that do crack. We had a couple deaths this past year of people that were alleged, for lack of a better term, crack addicts. I'll just say crack addicts. I don't like the term crackheads unless I'm really just trying to be ugly. To somebody.
Mike, that's what we've been calling them for years, crackheads.
That's what
it
is.
Dress it up a little bit now.
I'm gonna dress it up, man. I guess it's politically correct. We got to give the people that are. You have to have
crack
your dignity.
Addicts, crack users. What are we saying tonight? Just so I can catch myself.
We
up?
Can say whatever.
Okay.
Hey, let's just go with dope fiend.
Dope fiend.
Let's
okay.
just go with dope fiend.
Can we just say fiend?
You can say fiend. You can say fiend.
You can say
fiend. Like back in the day, man. Back in the day, old fiend.
Fiend.
Okay, then. But, yeah. So, I was just reading.
Users, Mike.
Users.
Users.
Yeah, that's good. But users can be more than one thing. Like, because I know some users that were kind of like, they use you for things. So, I don't want to get the two mixed because actually crackheads are better than users. Uh-oh.
You said
my mama junkie. Crackhead.
A junkie.
Two mama.
Junkie
we smoked the damn TV. Not Gator. Not Gator in the building. But anyway, man.
Because I'm a crackhead.
Right. But I did want to go ahead and let y'all know we do have another sponsor for this evening, man. We got another sponsor, a special sponsor, in light of the Joe Biden crack pipe program. And I think that's what it's really going to wind up being called is the Joe Biden crack pipe program. But no other spokesperson would be better for this than Hunter Biden himself. The Hard White House STEM Company is endorsing the big mic drop tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Smoke like a Biden. This is endorsed by Hunter Biden himself. This is endorsed by Hunter Biden himself. Let's get it cracking, America, Biden style. Brillo pads not included.
Leave Paul Hunter alone.
I ain't leaving Hunter alone, man. I did feel like it's necessary since everybody is so upset about this story, though. See, me, this P tonight, I got the Pittsburgh Pirates hat on, right? And this P stands for petty. I'm petty tonight.
Petty Mike.
I'm petty Mike tonight. Petty Mike tonight. So, just prepare for it. Just prepare for it. I'm going to go and get the banner up, man. Let's go ahead and get some calls going. If people want to call in, man, I did extend the block talk. So now we got like 4 hours of talk time. So, people can call in all the way to the end. But I guess what I want to ask is, do you still have faith in the Biden administration? Please call in 515-605-9708. Even if they walk this back and this is considered to not be true. They say it's not true. It's still so much ludicrous shit coming out of the Biden administration right now that I'm kind of over it, Ronnie.
But you know what? I'm not surprised because up here in New York for years, they've had a needle exchange program for heroin addicts.
How do you feel about that, though? Is that kind of...
I mean, so basically what they do is if they have used needles, they go and they put it in a sharp container and they get new clean needles.
I mean,
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's like promoting drug use.
I think so, too.
Like telling them it's okay to use drugs.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because, like I said, if you get caught with said crack pipe by the police, then what happens?
You're going to jail for drug paraphernalia.
You're going to jail for drug paraphernalia.
So it's like a catch-22.
Yeah, it's one of those set-up situations. I started...
What they call it, entrapment?
Yeah, exactly. My showrunner started to be, I want my free crack pipes because I can sell the little kids if I needed to. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can just go and send me my $30 million, whatever my share of the $30 million, just send them to me, and I'll distribute them from here.
And it's taxpayers' money that they're doing it with, I'm sure.
Of course. The government doesn't make any money. What does the government do? We got Heather Washington in the building. Heather said they have money for crack pipes, but can't cancel these student loans. Exactly. Cannot cancel a student loan.
He promised he was canceling student loans for nurses. I still got my damn student loans. He didn't cancel not one for me.
Right. We got 314 on the line. We got 384 on the line. This is the Big Mic Drop. Welcome. Who do we have?
Hey, it's Bianchi. You know, Big Mike, I'm going to tell you.
How you doing?
I would like to see, as many have, and some countries have too, the legalization of street drugs.
Absolutely.
And this is, and you know why. One, the violence that we see in the street sales and distribution, it would go away. Because an addict who is sick could go to a dispensary. They could get the right quantity and the quality, and they can sit and be monitored. They can either get up and leave or sign up for treatment. But as long as you got people out on the streets that's fighting against each other, innocent men, women, and children are being killed, neighborhoods are being tore up, and every other thing because of this illicit, illegal substance. And you know, here's the funny thing about that. Down there in Peru, the basic products sell about $20 a kilo. But by the time it hits the streets in New York, you're talking about $90,000, $100,000 a kilo. Well, if a dispensary sold it, look at all the leeway that you have to turn a profit and be able to offer the type of treatment that could possibly get these people off the drugs. But this stuff now, when it's illegal, they're going to continue to do it. They ain't going to stop.
Yes. Well, that's a catch-22 situation for me. And I'll tell you why. Because you see it with the marijuana right now. So, you know, they legalize marijuana in a lot of places. And the people that are talented at doing, at selling these products have been locked up already before they made it legal. I think I was looking at a story out of New Jersey that they're out of the 56 legal weed dispensaries now, since they've made it legal in New Jersey, that nobody's black that has any ownership in any of these dispensaries.
Mike, you said New Jersey. Tyson's got a big operation. Mike Tyson?
Well, I know Tyson has his own strands of weed, but that's Mike Tyson. But we're talking about normal, regular people, like the people that are locked up for that right now. You know what I'm saying? That literally... If you look at the difference between a stroke of a pen, they're calling these other people geniuses and they're celebrating them. They got magazines, you know, they're feature articles in magazines. They're making millions of dollars. And then you got somebody else that could has the same potential that's locked up because they did it just at the wrong time or in the wrong state. So, you know, if they have some kind of legal, go through and purge the records and let people out, forgive people who were selling marijuana, then I could see legalizing marijuana. I feel like it would be the same way.
I wasn't just saying marijuana. I was saying street drugs, period. Cocaine, heroin, meth, and all that stuff. Well, hell, in Chicago, Cook County, Kim Fox let 29,000 go. Felons. Took them off the book.
Right.
In St. Louis, Kim Gardner's doing the same thing. She tells the police, look, if you go to lock one up and they look like what they were stealing, they need it, let them go. And look it out there in California. You get your grocery basket and a calculator. Start throwing things in there, keep track of it on the calculator. When it get up to about $950, stop, turn around, roll right on out the store. They can't bother you.
Right.
Right. Now, you tell me that you're going to have a black business going to open up under them circumstances? In a underserved community? I don't think so. I wouldn't.
And where can I go and do that? Where can I go throw things up to $950 on a basket and not go to jail? What county is
out
this?
Out there in San Francisco. Out there in San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco. They won't
really?
Prosecute you unless you steal over what, $999, $950.
Yeah.
It'll be
yeah,
a
have a good
Catholic.
You won't get touched. You won't get touched. They can't even go after you.
They even open
the
door for you.
Yeah. I think that's what they were saying about that that Louis Vuitton where they stormed the Louis Vuitton. So we got Amber Alert says, prescription drugs are legal, yet they're addictive prescription drugs. I think if Big Pharma took over, the addiction rate might get worse. Well, absolutely. I think so,
yeah.
Too. If you let the capitalists, like the big major capitalists get involved in it, it's definitely going to get fucked up.
Well, you
opinion.
Know, beer was on prohibition. And things got so bad, they had to start a special unit with the FBI, led it by who? Nellie S. Regardless, see, people are going to do those things. But what I'm saying is that you got all this violence with these factions fighting against each other. Heck, man, you know, in Chicago, my favorite city, as of February the 6th, 2 days ago, and February 6th, the day is the 10th, so 4 days ago, on account running 251 days, they done had 484 murders. And get this, Mike, 3,576 blacks shot by other blacks. No police, white police shooting.
Right.
And you know, it's so sad. The kids got to run to school zigzag with bulletproof backpacks on.
Yeah.
I see these kids running down the street going back and forth. I thought they were doing the exercise. I'm sorry.
Don't you think that's going to be worse if they make illicit drugs legal? Don't you think that's going to be worse?
No. Do you see people standing across the street from each other, shooting at each other over a bottle of Jack Daniels or Cully Shark? They can go in the liquor store and buy it.
They used to shoot at each other over that, though, in Chicago.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jack Daniels and Cully Shark. Hey, so I got my mom in the building. She says, I think the syringe exchange is a good thing. The reality is some people are going to use. Please be mindful that before God's grace, there go I. Exactly. I mean, you know, you could easily be in that situation, and which is why I was like trying to soften the blow of what we're going to call people tonight when we're talking. I don't want to be too disrespectful.
Well, I'm not calling nobody tremendous. But I'm saying this. I don't want my child, I don't want you, Mike, to get caught up. Bullets don't know no difference. And when these bullets are flying, shooting at each other, they're holding the gun sideways. We shouldn't be shooting at each other anyway. I think that if they don't have anything to have a war against another group, why are you going to, you ain't going to have a war against another group when don't nobody want what you got anyway, because they can get it cheaper, safer at the dispensary.
At the dispensary. You're right. You're right, and perhaps
if people are going to use drugs, they should be able to afford their own syringes. I feel like if people want to use drugs, have the money to be able to afford the accessories that go along with using drugs. I don't feel like the government should have to supply you with syringes. Be able to afford you. If you can afford your drugs, afford what you need to use the drugs. I'm not going to buy you syringes, or my tax dollars should not go towards getting what you need to use your drugs.
Especially when it's elderly people who can't get syringes for their diabetes.
For their insulin,
for
right.
For their insulin. You know what I'm saying? You do have that
situation. I mean,
that's
all well and good that we're trying to make it so that they're not getting HIV because they're not using dirty syringes, but I don't feel like we should supply them with the syringes.
Right.
What do
right.
insulin cost in Cuba? About $10?
That you get from work. We should not be buying you syringes.
You say, what does insulin cost?
That's wrong.
What does insulin cost in Cuba? Like $5, $10, or something like that?
I don't know. I ain't never been to Cuba.
What it is here?
Yeah.
Compared to what it is here?
Yeah, Big Pharma.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what the problem is, man. We know what the problem is, and we're seeing the results of it right now. Art Binaka says, best president ever. The people voted for what they wanted. At least no more mean tweets. I will go ahead. I will go ahead and say this. I voted for Joe Biden. Did not want to vote for Joe Biden, but I wasn't fucking with Trump. I'll be honest.
Well, Mike, I'm going to go and say this.
No, no. I don't care if Trump comes back. I don't necessarily have to have Trump. I just need somebody with some that's going to do some common sense conservative shit and maybe not be so crazy. Try not to stir my white neighbors up to get their ass kicked if they come over here with that bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Last time Trump was in the office, I was paying $1.65 a gallon for gas. And the oil industry was booming. I voted for Trump, will again. I don't had enough of these damn Democrats, man. I had enough of them. 72 years in the St. Louis area. Hey, that's older than me. I'll talk to you later, man.
Hey, man, good to talk to you, bro. I love the way you come in and just drop, man. Hey,
every time I do, too.
Hey, Q said, not only were they arrested, talking about the people that are in prison right now for selling these drugs, their assets and finances were stolen and should be returned. Absolutely. This is the type of problems that makes this legalization of drugs on these, you know, crazy situations without kind of rectifying the prison system or the criminal justice system to reflect that legalization of drugs. I don't understand that. Let's see. Uncle Stu, old man on the block in the building. Salute to the chat and the panel. Uncle Stu, I'm going to drop the link in here, man, because we're going to be talking some heavy stuff, man, and we'd love to have an old school look on this thing, man. Not saying you old school, man. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. I'm going to put the link in the chat if you got time to come through. Corman says, Lord, there will always be wars profitable. We don't own boats. We don't frequent these places drugs are shipped from. We weren't aren't manufacturing these weapons, so how are they so prevalent? They want chaos and promote it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pure facts. Pure facts. Look, I understand the Joe Biden crack pipe thing, but to really be 100, that's really not what we're here for tonight.
We should not be doing crack pipes and syringes. We should not be providing that.
No.
They should have enough money. If you smoke cigarettes, you should be able to afford cigarettes. If you smoke crack, you should be able to afford crack pipes. If you shoot heroin, you should be able to afford syringes. That's the bottom line.
Right, right. And to be honest, man, with all of this fentanyl that's going on, this lacing of crack cocaine with fentanyl and these people dropping dead from using crack.
Like flies.
You see what I'm saying? The timing is just suspect to me. The timing is very sus to me. And I hate to say it, but it is. You know, and
they're finding different ways to kill people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like just different ways
and
to
I
kill
believe,
people
yeah,
off.
I believe that population control that they were saying about coronavirus, now they're going to control the population with all this other stuff.
Right, right.
And syringes and what else? Crack pipes.
Crack pipes. Right. When the president's son was apparently or supposedly smoking crack. So, you know,
what
Joe,
do you mean apparently and supposedly?
So in the New York Post, and let me go ahead and quote my source. This was May 28, 2021, New York Post. Hunter Biden boasted that he smoked crack as a college student with then Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry, according to a recording that surfaced on Friday. During the 8-minute, 15-second audio clip, President Biden's son and another man were debating whether slain civil rights icons Martin Luther King Jr. and Mohandas Gandhi ever used cocaine when Barry's name came up. Although the mayor of D.C. did, the other man said, Marion Barry, Biden said, you know what? I actually smoked crack with Marion Barry. I swear to fucking God. The other man responded, Jesus. This y'all president's son, right? I was in Georgetown, and he used to go to a place right next to the guards, Biden said, apparently referring to the since-shuttered bar near the Georgetown University campus. And I was a sophomore. I guess there was a junior or junior when that happened. But he used to come there and drink, like late, and I would be there, and he would go to the bathroom. Biden then added, but anyway, before the other man changed the subject, Biden 51 graduated from Georgetown in 1992 and has publicly acknowledged his long decade struggle with drug addiction and alcoholism.
Not crack, man. He could have lied and said he started the powder. He said he smoked crack.
He said he smoked crack.
Whitney Houston said.
He said he smoked crack money. With Marion Barry, niggas.
Proudly.
You feel what I'm saying?
He probably called it crack.
In a bar bathroom. The recording, reported by the Daily Mail, is contained on a hard drive copy from a damaged laptop that was left at a repair shop in Wilmington, Delaware, in April 2019 and never retrieved. So this nigga didn't pawn that shit. The store's owner has told the Post. The title of the audio file suggests it was created January 5th, 2019. The hard drive also contains... Not a bathhouse. Oh, my gosh. The hard drive also contains other recordings that point to Biden's admitted drug use, including a raunchy 12-minute video that appears to show him smoking crack while engaged in sex in a sex act with an unidentified woman. Barry was a three-term mayor of the nation's capital when he was busted in 1990 at the Vista Hotel, where the FBI recorded him smoking crack with his former girlfriend, Diane Rashida Moore. Bitch set me up. He infamously muttered during his arrest. A jury deadlocked on most charges, but convicted Barry on a single count of drug possession, for which he served a 6-month prison term. Following his release, he was elected to the D.C. Council in 1992, and 2 years later won a fourth and final term as mayor. Some OG shit.
Bitch, smiles and videotape.
Bitch set me up.
And he still won a fourth term, Mike.
And still got out of prison and won a fourth term.
Sex, lies, and videotape.
But with that being said, this is a good way to transition. Marion Barry, though he was a man of many transgressions, had one thing, and that was the confidence of the people of D.C., which is Chocolate City, whether people want to admit it or not. That's where the most black people live per capita, is in the D.C. area.
That's more than Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. D.C. Chocolate City in
really?
The United States. Yeah. Yeah. And they love Marion Barry, and he treated them right. But what happens when your leaders don't treat you right? What happens when the people that you appoint and put your public trust into to do the right thing with your tax dollars and your hard-earned bill money, what happens when they don't live up to the same standards that Marion Barry lived up to? See, we'll joke and we'll laugh about Marion Barry, but one thing Marion Barry did was his damn job for the people.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not a crackhead, if you're at work stealing like you're a crackhead. Huh. I'm just going to be honest. You don't even have to drink. But if you're stealing like you're a crackhead or a dope fiend, at work and you're stealing from the people, I got a problem with it, which is why I'm rocking the petty on the hat tonight. You feel what I'm saying? Trill Hands Boxing. Can the president supply free white cups for the syrup drinkers out here? Absolutely. Absolutely. Free white cups for the syrup drinkers.
Why they got to be white?
That's what
they
use.
Can't be purple?
Socialist Bastard says, hey, guys. Hey, Socialist Bastard. How you doing?
Hello.
Bobby Garvin just gave a bunch of thumbs up and said, right, right, right. Yeah, absolutely, man. So, man, we should have a couple of special calls coming in tonight. Let's see. Nobody's on the line right now. Feel free to call in and answer the question. Do you still have faith in the Biden administration? But we are going to switch gears right now back to where we were the other day. This being the Pritchard Waterboy now. So I don't know if y'all noticed, I did change the title to Exposing Nia Bradley. Did you notice that?
I'm a little bit jealous of Nia Bradley.
And the Pritchard Waterboy.
All of the nice shit that I have, I had to work hard and buy. I'm a little bit jealous of people that can just get shit from other people so seamlessly and get away with it for so long.
Right.
So I would have got all of that and got out. I would have just kept on doing it until I got caught.
Right. Well, man, we were blessed to come by some good information on this show, man. I've been talking to, you know, some people, man, that are really close to this. Shout out to Rachel Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rachel Wilkerson and the awesome work she's doing. Shout out to the Land Yap and the awesome work they're doing on this story. You know, now these are journalists. There's other sources and other things I've gotten. I actually got Nia Bradley's signed contract. And we're going to get into some of these claims and what's going on. We didn't have all this information Sunday. Sunday was really just an emotional show. I called Ronnie. I'm like, look, man, I'm upset. I'm tired. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm sick of this shit. I want to do something. And she like, Big Mike, let's just go on. Big Mike, let's go on. I'm like, word, let's just go on. Let's just go on because this pisses me off, man, because when we do have opportunity, when we do have the opportunity to, you know, have our own stuff and lead our own cities and have our own utilities and do things like this, you know, where, you know, you don't see that a lot of places.
Yeah.
You don't really see that many black people in power, and it's a totally black-run city. You don't see that in a lot of places.
Pretty black, pretty much.
Yeah, for that to be a safe haven for black folks. You would expect for that to be a place to where you could go retire, where you can go grow your wealth, as opposed to having people take your wealth. And for those who aren't familiar with what's going on, because I know this story, we're trying to take this story national, which is why I asked some of my people to share this video and like and subscribe. Please share this video, like and subscribe. This story is getting ready to go national, and we want to help take it there. We want to help take it there. I don't know if Elaine is going to join us tonight. But, you know, we'll see. This topic should be flooded with views. Absolutely. Socialist bastard, please send this out, man. Send this out and let people see this. Also, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe while you're in here. Like, share, and subscribe while you're in here. So let's go ahead and go so we can let people know. It kind of give people a background of what happened. So this young lady, Rachel Wilkerson, man, she's an awesome investigative reporter. She was with NBC 15 in Mobile, Alabama, and she actually was kind of digging around and not found this story, but she's been into this story, and she actually left and went to Indianapolis. And she was still following this story and still reporting and doing some top-notch reporting on this story right now. So let's check this out and give people a little background, you know, what it really was that was going on. So I'm going to share this screen. It's a couple of minutes, but like I said, I feel like we need to see all of this. Mm-hmm. There we go. Let's share this. This is Rachel Wilkerson from WRTV in Indianapolis.
Okay. I just wanted to do a quick Facebook Live video for you guys just to let you know what I found out so far. I am busy here in Indianapolis. As you know, I moved. I no longer work for NBC 15 in Mobile.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
And I will break that all down for you guys later. I've got to run, but I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I received some messages from you all yet.
There we go.
For NBC 15 in Mobile, and we have been covering the snowstorm. So I have just been so busy. I was up at 7 o'clock this morning trying to get this stuff posted for you all, but I just couldn't. So I wanted to hop on here. I did speak to a few people last night and just wanted to give this update. So I got the audit report. I got the report last night around 5 o'clock, and I was doing, like I said, snow coverage. I was out and about. I didn't have time to go through the report. Shout out to Land Yap. They have a great article detailing most of what was found within the audit. So if you haven't seen their story, you should definitely check it out. They did a great job. I have a copy of that report. I have it on my laptop. I screenshotted the different results. That way we're not showcasing their names just because this is an investigation. So I wanted to just run through what I have so far. This is some of the results from the Pritchard Water and Sewer Board significant credit card transaction report. This is from January 2018 through October 2021. So in total, nearly $4 million was spent. 7 people are involved, including a ghost card and a Pritchard Water and Sewer Board credit card that was used. So like I said, there were 7 different credit cards issued to different people. A ghost card was used and a card that just said Pritchard Water and Sewer Board. Now, this is an 18-page report, and I got to go in a few minutes because I have a Zoom call. But this is an 18-page report that just showcases what these employees were spending this money on. So we're going to talk about the credit card transactions that are noted as potentially personal. There were 6 different cards used. 4 of those were different employees. One of those was Nia Bradley. 1 ghost card was used, and then another card that was issued Pritchard Water and Sewer. Nearly $69,000 was used for what they're calling potentially personal transactions.
Okay. So I'm going to stop this here for now. All right. Because we actually have those transactions, and we have the names on those transactions. I feel it's only appropriate we put that information out. How do you feel about that, Ronnie?
Yeah, it needs to be known.
I think it feels like it needs to be known. I feel like that as well. And, you know, it is what it is, man. You shouldn't do this with people's money, with people's hard-earned money.
It's horrible.
Yeah, that's it. That was the one, Ronnie.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I just kind of wanted to make sure everybody could understand what was going on, an overview of what was going on before we got into the specifics. So let's look at these Pritchard Water and Sewer Board charges here. All right, so let's go back. So this looks like it started 5/6/2018. And let me go ahead and share this here. I want to share this screen. Let me stop sharing that one.
So 3 years ago, huh?
Yeah, about 3 years ago. And I want to share that so the people can see this.
How far did the audit go back, though?
The audit went back 4 years, 2018.
So had they gone back farther, would they have found more?
Well, right now they won't.
Or did they go back farther and they only found just that?
No, they actually, you have Napoleon Bracey, who's the representative, who's calling for them to go back 10 years investigating this. So, you know.
And they haven't gone back that far as of yet, so they may actually go back further and they may find even more.
Yeah, they may go back further and find even more. So here you can see a couple of these charges. And like I said, a lot of these charges could be authorized charges. It's certain names that you're just not going to see on this report, you know, that you'll see. You'll understand what's going on after you go. Like this first lady, you know, I don't think you see her name anymore on this report. She spent $26 at TJ Maxx. Not a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
I want to know who that damn ghost card is. That's what I'm concerned
right.
about. Who is the ghost card?
I guess you got to look at whoever's a member of Word of Faith, because they spent, you know, $2,060 and $1,545 at a church.
What the hell is that? Choir? What costs that much at a church?
Probably some tithes. They probably showing out in the tithes and offerings, jumping around and shit. You know what I'm saying? Catching the Holy Ghost and, you know, stuff like that. So then you start getting a lot of these different charges. From this young lady, Nia Bradley. And her name is smack dab in the center of this. And I will say this. I know it goes deeper than her. Her attorney was kind of alluding to that. And that's actually an interview with him as well. Like I said, if y'all want to know information on this, follow Rachel Wilkerson at WRTV. She has all the information on this. Go ahead.
But, Mike, not to cut you off, but in my heart of hearts, in a way, I kind of, when that girl says, some of this stuff was approved. I kind of, in my heart, feels like somebody told her, girl, go ahead and do it. It's okay. Because I just don't feel like she just took that card and just did all of this without somebody saying, girl, go ahead. Ain't nobody gonna find out. Some of that shit, somebody told that girl to do that. She ain't just took it upon herself to just do all of this shit. Somebody told her, girl, go ahead. Ain't nobody watching her.
But I get it. But here's the deal. And like my buddy said,
you should have known better, but somebody gave her the go-ahead.
Well, like my buddy said, you know, nobody can authorize you to commit a crime. You understand
right.
that?
Right. But so, somebody made her feel comfortable enough to take that particular card and do that.
Hey, you the dummy for doing it.
Exactly. But somebody made her feel like she was going to get away with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but
somebody gave her the balls to do it.
I mean, I get it, but she still gonna do the time.
Whoever put that card in her hand told her, "Girl, you know what? Go ahead. I'm gonna turn a blind eye.
Right. Okay.
I'm the one in charge of you, and I'm turning a blind eye. Do what you gotta do, girl. Somebody told her that.
Caught out said, "What is the ghost card? Well,
that's what I wanna know.
That's the person who told her it was okay to do it.
Exactly.
But here's the deal. If you notice, Ghost didn't use it as much as she did. Her name
right.
is all over this report.
And
look,
you know why
look
her
at
name
these,
was all
look
over
at these charges.
Because you know why? Because those charges, everything that Nia Bradley bought was not everything for Nia Bradley. What Nia Bradley was purchasing was for her and whoever else was using that Ghost card. She was purchasing things for her and others. But she was the one making all the purchases because she was the holder of the card. She was the holder of that card, but she was making purchases for other people on that card. All that shit was not for Nia Bradley. Trust me.
Well,
trust me.
You know that for a fact?
I'm telling you, that don't make sense. Nia Bradley was not doing all of that for Nia Bradley. Nia Bradley was doing all of that for Nia Bradley and probably Nia Bradley's supervisor or whoever was giving Nia Bradley.
Hmm.
Trust me, Mike.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it.
Napoleon Bracey on the news said last night that the people of Pritchard is going to have to foot the bill for the money that was spent, which is some bullshit. And you are a Pritchard citizen, if I'm not mistaken. That is some bullshit.
They smell like a bunch of bullshit. Y'all, some new sound effects didn't even put me up on game.
I've actually had that one for a while. You're damn right, Sean. What do you say? Remember back in the day they used to say everybody's doing it? Absolutely. Here we go. Why didn't the yearly CPA auditor, Robert Hedrick, do a yearly fraud assessment? Lanyap reported today an anonymous female CPA did the credit card review, but also stated that the person responsible for the yearly audit did not do fraud assessments. Lanyap reported in an earlier article that Robert Hedrick, did the yearly audit. Yeah, we actually have, it just came out. We actually have this, and I'm going to go on put it. So let's see. Got my partner on. Frank, come through, man. Come through and let us check you out. I see you over there. Frank says if they go back 10 years, they might run out of jail cells. This is sad. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anybody that thinks that Nia Bradley bought all of that shit for Nia Bradley alone got to be a jackass.
Yeah, but she was a fool.
Nia Bradley was buying some of that stuff for whoever gave Nia Bradley the authority to buy that shit.
But see, Ghost was still buying it, too. So
yeah, whoever was using that Ghost card was also giving Nia Bradley to go ahead to purchase some things for themselves and her.
So we got Louis Vuitton. We got mesmerized color contact lenses. We've all heard the charges that she's
right.
done. Some of these, Premier Driving Academy, they say that was for Q. And for his truck driving CDL, that's what's going around. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah. Probably true. I think they posted Q's municipal court paperwork for Mobile as well.
Well, first of all, I'm not even finna get mad at Q because Q would be a damn fool to turn down services that somebody doing for him. I mean, he would be a fool to say, no, I'm not going to let you do this to me. He's not the one that swiped the damn card. He didn't have that kind of power to take the card and swipe it.
He might be the fool for letting them do it, though.
If she came to me and I'm not the one that works for the water board, she said, hey, Ronnie, I'm going to go and buy you 5,000 books so you can sell. I don't work for Pritchard. I don't live in Pritchard. I'm going to say, oh, no, girl, you might lose your job. So I'm not even going to fault him. I'm going to fault her because she was the one doing the
But he was
wrong,
running for
right?
mayor, if I'm not mistaken. That's the dude that was running against Reggie. So he lived in prison.
As a decoy. He was running as a damn decoy.
But you
he
still
really
can't run if you don't live there. So that's what I'm saying.
But he wasn't really trying to win. He was just trying to keep Reggie from winning.
But what I'm saying is you can't run
really
if you don't live there.
Damn mayor.
That man
He's not supposed. That's against the law.
That man knew what he was doing. And I'm gonna prove,
yeah,
like,
he knew what he was doing. He was running out the B court to just keep Reggie from not winning.
But he knew what he was doing taking that money because he actually signed a promissory note. He signed a promissory note for the municipal court charges.
He knew what he was doing, but he knew what he was doing. But she was the one that was really breaking the law because she was the one in the power to take money. He wasn't in the power to take the money.
Well, it looks like it was a lot of people. It wasn't just her breaking the law. It was a lot of people. Cutout says, this is the tip of the iceberg. The criminal activities are broad and vast.
Very, very.
If you were in public office, bribe is bribe. Yeah, bribe is a bribe. Absolutely. Lonnie Owens, Big Ping in the building. Oh! Accessory. Even if you don't do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you know, I get it, man. Somebody told me it was cool to do it and all that. But at some point in time, man, you got to have the decency that your parents gave you and raised you with. And I know most of us, our parents raised us with a sense of decency. You know you're not supposed to be spending these folks' money.
Yeah, you know that. That's
you know somebody got to pay for this. It's a credit card. You know somebody got to pay for it. And if you know you're not the one writing the check to pay for it, who's paying for it? Now,
but what I want somebody to explain to me, because I don't understand, like, this money that they were using, is this money that came from, like, loans that they had taken out? The money that the citizens are paying towards their water bill, is this the money that they were spending? Because this money came from a credit card that they were spending. So where does the citizens' money go to when they pay their bill?
Probably,
where does that money go?
Probably to paying the credit card bill and the loan.
Okay.
Probably the paying the credit card bill and the loan. Now, this four-page letter came out. Now, this is actually who kind of – he didn't really break the story because a gentleman actually wound up receiving a $2,300 water bill, and their water was cut off 2-3 days before Thanksgiving. The water bill said that they had used 167,000 gallons of water, but they had only used 3,400 gallons or 3,700 gallons the month before. There was no visible signs of a leak. So if you're using 167,000 gallons of water, and I think they say that's enough to fill up a swimming pool, in-ground swimming pool, 15 times, you know, your house is probably going to sink. You know what I'm saying? If you got that much water leaking or something like that. So, you know, I don't know how they were calculating. I don't know how they were, you know, metering the bills or whatnot. But they literally came and cut these people's water off 3 days before Thanksgiving. He had to pay $300 at the holidays to get it cut back on, just to get it cut back on and get on a payment plan, which they probably charged him interest on a payment plan. I would love to find out if they charged him interest or not. But when he decided to go sue, then they came back a couple of days later and waived the fees on the water bill, and then this shit just started going downhill from there.
And how do they decide which houses they're going to target? Because the citizens of Chickasaw are not having the same complaints as the citizens in Pritchard.
Well, I
so how are they deciding which families they're going to target and give these outstanding bills to?
I want to do a little more research on that. That's a question I have as well. And I don't want to throw something out there not knowing, but I do want to do a little more research. I actually put we actually both put something out yesterday about people that's under Pritchard Water who are having extremely high water bills,
right,
to kind of help us get a little understanding of it. We're in the public right now. So being in the public, we can help get your message out there. I'm not really trying to get in your business. I won't even mention your name. I'm just looking to get information and data so we can continue making sure that justice is served on this. Because I'm going to tell you right now, they want to keep this in Alabama. They want to keep this in Alabama so bad. If you look it up, Pritchard Water Board, Pritchard Water Works and Sewer Board scandal, they want to keep this in Alabama. Nothing but Alabama articles are popping up. This hasn't hit CNN. This hasn't hit NBC with Lester Holt, ABC with David Muir. None of them. That's my goal, is to make this go nationwide. Or even CBS. Sorry, I didn't mean to forget CBS. People deserve justice, man. People don't deserve to have their money wasted like this.
And then I have another question. I'm not trying to be naive, but if she was buying things for other people, who's to say they knew that she was even using the city's credit card? Because if I go and buy something for my son and I say, baby, I'm going to take you and I'm going to buy you a school book, how do they know if I'm using my personal credit card, if I'm using the credit card from the hospital that I work at? Who's to say that these people even know that she's stealing money?
What do you mean?
Who's to say that Q, who's to say that Q even knew she was using the water board credit card to pay for his schools and for his truck driving or whatever? Who's to say he knew that?
He knew they paid.
I mean, I think he gets the benefit of the doubt.
No, he knew the water board paid for his municipal court fines because the paperwork is out there. Rachel Wilkerson put the paperwork out there.
He knows now, but at the time
no,
that it was
he
paid,
knew it
he
when
know
he
that?
Signed. He signed it.
Okay.
He signed it
I
to pay that,
to,
that money back. Yeah, that
guy.
Man know what's going on.
So he knew that the day that it happened, not just now that it's coming out. He knew from the time that it happened.
Right. That okay. Where they were getting the money from.
Okay, I just want to be fair to everybody.
I want to be fair as well. And like I said,
okay,
I'm just
okay.
Reporting the facts as I know them. Like I said,
right.
If anybody
okay.
Wants to come on, you're welcome to come on and defend yourself. But with the
okay.
With the measure of charges right now, I warn you, I'll turn this shit over to the people that they ask for it, so you might not want to bring your ass on here talking. I'm not getting ready to obstruct justice.
You know,
if you come on here talking
fair,
crazy, then, you
sides.
Know, hey. Hey, like my boy say, niggas always ask who the plug is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Girl, where you getting all this money from? But you know I be running, you know I be running game at the Pritchard Water Board. Did I get the kids something?
Samson is here. Mama failed. Shut up, bitch.
So, let's check this out. This was a letter. Four-page letter we got written by Russell Heidelberg, who is the chairman of the water board at this current time. This was written in March 7th, the day before my birthday, 2018. Attachment to ethics complaint, dated March 7th, 2018. Respondents Nathaniel N., Jayana Payton, and John H. Johnson. Number one, laid off six employees, 9/29/2017. No resolution to vote by the board. The resolution and the vote was done after the fact. It was voted on 10/9/2017 board meeting. Did not send requests to personnel board to fill these positions. Instead, they hired contractors and placed them in supervisory positions. They supervised, hire, and fire merit system employees. This was the genesis of the layoff, to allow them to employ their friends. They violated personal board rules, violated open meetings acts, and this is clear demonstration of malfeasance in office. Nature, I said, not a four-page letter. Absolutely, man. I wish I could play some Aaliyah on here, man, while I'm doing this. Number two, hired independent contractor Nia Bradley. Now, he puts on here $12,500 per month. But, you know, I got Nia Bradley's contract right here, the one she actually signed. Not the original, but a copy of the signed contract that she signed. And under salary or fees for service, states that the Water and Sewer Board agrees to pay contractor $7,500 monthly fee for the services during the term of this agreement. So somehow she was already getting another $5,000, according to Mr. Heidelberg in this letter. Now, this was a personal friend of Mr. Inge and Ms. Payton. Did not advertise, nor was any qualifications provided to the board. Gave her a vehicle, credit card, phone, and an office. Placed her as a supervisor over merit system employees. No income taxes, Medicare taxes, or Social Security payments are withheld. This contractor does not have liability insurance, workman compensation insurance, or bond coverage. Let's see. The contractor has a reckless driving record and drives the board's vehicle. She drove the vehicle for an extended time without any insurance coverage. They voted on 2/15/2018 in a regular board meeting to request that her insurance carrier change our policy to cover individuals with reckless driving records.
Really?
The request has been made. They paid for hotel and travel expenses for her to go to Montgomery, Alabama, and Sandestin, Florida. She has charged food to the board issue credit card at Briquette Steakhouse in Mobile, Alabama, January 25th for $97. Kitchen on George February 15th, 2018, $417. BJ's Restaurant, Mobile, Alabama, February 21st, 2018, for $68. Zaxby's Restaurant, Mobile, Alabama, February 24th, $24.95. McAllister's Deli, Prattville, Alabama, February 27th, for $11.04. The board should only pay her the contractual amount, providing a vehicle, phone, office, liability insurance, workman compensation coverage, automobile insurance, lodging, travel, training, and food is misuse of public funds and is breaking the law. Excuse me. Let me give me a sip of water, man.
Mouth dry.
Hold on. There we go.
Do you know this lady at all personally, Mike?
I don't know.
Because I'm wondering, like, who is her family? If I did this kind of stuff, my grandmama, my aunties, and then my mama, then would be so embarrassed. I could not embarrass my family like this.
Man, you know, man.
This is so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm sure she hiding under a rock
this
somewhere.
This is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm sure she hiding under a rock somewhere, as she should be, because people all over her social media, people trying to find out more about her. They're trying to find out who
so
she is. I want to see some of them Gucci and Louis fits. I ain't gonna lie, I wanna see what them fits was looking like. Them shoes, them kicks, you know what I'm saying?
I heard they're gonna take her dog too.
Oh wow. So let's see. All right. So then number three on this. Hired independent contractor Anthony Bradley, $5,000 monthly. That's Nia Bradley's son. Did not advertise, nor was any type of qualifications provided to the board. He was given a vehicle, credit card, phone, and an office. He was designated as a supervisor of customer service, supervising merit system employees. No income taxes, Medicare taxes, Social Security payments are withheld. The contractor does not have liability insurance, workman compensation insurance, or bond coverage. The individual counts the money collected every day. Counts the money collected every day. He drove a board vehicle for an extended period of time without any insurance coverage. He has made mistakes of the daily tally several times. On one occasion, IT contractor had to be called to correct his error. He was sent to a four-day training session at the board's expense. He charged the food to the board, issued credit card at Hart's Fried Chicken in Pritchard on January 23rd, 2018. $41.07 at Hart's?
How old is he?
I don't know. This man spent $41.07 at Hart's, dog.
This her son?
Yeah. $41.07?
She's not much older than us, Mike, so her son must be 20.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
I don't know.
He bought enough chicken for the office, maybe.
Cheddar's Restaurant, Huntsville, Alabama, $33. Red Robin, Huntsville, Alabama, $18. Another Broken Egg Cafe. That shit's the bomb. I ain't gonna lie. Another Broken Egg is the
bomb.
Never
heard of it.
Oh, man. Breakfast, man. It's awesome. But Another Broken Egg Cafe, Madison, Alabama, February 21st, 2018. Connor's Steak and Seafood, February 21st, $31. Use the board credit. Yeah, they some eating ass motherfuckers, man. Use the board credit card to pay for personal membership to the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce, $400. The board should only pay him the contractual amount, providing food, lodging, liability insurance, workman compensation, automobile insurance. So basically, they're paying for these folks' lives. So anyway, this is a clear demonstration of malfeasance in office and a failure to carry out their fiduciary responsibility to the board. This is also a case of nepotism. The contractor handles the board's money. He does not have a bond, and his mother checks his work. So this was a recipe from disaster, from day one. Now she a trick mama. So she planning the next move. Absolutely. All right. So
wow.
Then it goes on, hired an independent contractor, Carlos G. Butler, $7,500 monthly. This individual worked with Nia Bradley at Daphne Utilities. This position was not advertised, nor was any qualifications provided to the board. Medicare taxes, it just goes on to the same thing. All of them start getting the cards. actually, he has had an accident in a board vehicle. He drove a vehicle for an extended period of time and has drove a vehicle and had an accident in the board vehicle. He has charged food to the board, Whataburger, you know, camp, Felix's Fish Camp on Valentine's Day with the boo. Or was it the boy? Was it Jabu or the boy? Which one was it? Felix's Fish Camp. $157.67. Should only be paid the contractual amount. So basically, nobody's paying taxes. No taxes are getting withheld, according to this. Workman's compensation, they're getting all of the benefits, all of the expenses paid, and on top of their salary, which is pretty handsome. I mean, I should have went to work for Pritchard Water Board if I knew if I could make $12,500 a month.
I'm telling you, huh?
Yeah.
In Mobile, that's pretty good down there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. 12 racks a month. You ain't got to live in Pritchard unless you're working for the water board. I'm talking about Fairhoping for that kind of bread. You know what I'm saying? So.
Wow.
All right.
Well, does her son have that ghost card they looking for?
I don't know. We got to figure out who Ghost is, like Powell. So then number five, hired independent contractor Tashia Tucker. $5,000 monthly. This is a personal friend of Councilman Griffin who appointed Mr. Ennis to the board. This position was not advertised, nor was any type of qualification provided. She was designated as a human resource specialist. No income taxes, Medicare taxes, or Social Security payments are withheld. The contractor does not have liability insurance, workman compensation insurance, or bond coverage. Absolutely, totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Issued a credit card to customer service worker Cordelia M. Leggett. And that's a name you should get very familiar with because she's all over this motherfucker. She's all over this report. And what did they charge her? Cordelia M. Leggett, personal friend of Mr. N. She has made purchases at Popeye's Chicken in Saraland and McAllister's Restaurant in Mobile with Mr. N.'s approval. Charged $4,875 at Annie's Kitchen in Pritchard. The facility is owned by Councilman Griffin and his mother. Again, Councilman Griffin appointed Mr. Ennis to the board. This is enriching the official that appointed Mr. Ennis to the board. Board member Ayanna Payton took the credit card from the Merit System employee in charge of customer service, Janet Joyner, on December 27, 2017. She either charged or allowed someone else to make the following charges. Party City for $74.88. That's probably for a New Year's Eve party. Rogers Barbecue, 44. BJ's Restaurant, $439 on December 29th. This appears to be fraud. Someone other than the legal card holder charged items on this card.
Fire. I'm moving back to Mobile next week, Mike. I'm fixing to work at Pritchard Water Board.
You getting on. Should put your boy on.
I'm putting my resume together as we speak.
You don't need no resume. You don't know nobody?
Oh, no, we don't, right? I don't need no credentials at all.
I don't need nothing. Don't even take no taxes out. Just go in there and just step right in. Be all up here at the, I see you up here at the Ritz-Carlton. How about that in the Louis Vuitton store?
At Hart.
Hey, hold on. It's not Louis Vuitton. It's Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton.
Gucci.
Yeah, at Gucci. And Louis Vuitton. Fired three employees without board approval and no justification in September 2017. Voted on
that was
the issue
after the fact. Stealing started, right? Because the stealing started in 2018, right?
Yeah, that's when all the stealing started. So they had to get everybody out the way before the orgy, before the orgy of public funds waste and malfeasance began. That's what was happening. This was an orgy of spending. Let's keep going through these. Let's just keep going through these charges, man. I'm just going to keep going through them. Y'all looked at that Cordelia Leggett all over. That's just for Mardi Gras. And I'm just dreading doing the Mardi Gras thing, man. I ain't going to lie. I'm dreading doing the Mardi Gras thing.
Who up there was so big on Mardi Gras, but I want
to
know.
I don't know, but shit.
We need Scooby-Doo to solve this crime. Which one of them used to solve all the crimes on Scooby-Doo? Shaggy?
Not Shaggy and Scooby.
Which one of them used to pull the mask off and find out who the culprit was?
Oh, that was Fred. That was Fred and Daphne, yeah.
We need Fred and Daphne on this one. That's what we need.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And who was the ghost? Oh, my God. I would have got away, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids. I remember that shit. So check this out. This is where you get to old travel, man. Look at the travel, man. Let's go a little closer. Let's get a little closer, man. I don't know if y'all can see that. Let's get it. There we go. Boom. There you go. Oh, shit. Hold on. What happened? Uh-oh. Let me get back to... I don't know why I did that. So I guess when you get too big, it goes away. All right. Let me stop sharing. I'll pull that back up. I will pull that back up. All right, man. I think Rachel Wilkinson is going to join us here in a few moments, man. So she says she's finishing her stand-up right now. She's gonna join us on this. So cool. And right now, I mean, it seems like she kind of led the charge with everybody in Mobile coming with the story, because Mobile seemed to be behind the curve on this. What's up with that? You think it's one of them things they're trying to suppress? I do.
I don't know, Mike.
I do.
What one thing I do know is I feel like Ashley Rich is a little bit behind on things. I feel like if John Tyson would have still been in office, this shit would have been dealt with by now.
Yeah, yeah. But John Tyson was so long ago, you know?
He was so long ago, but this shit would have been over and done with by now.
Yeah, it would have.
The cuffs would have been on by now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting to see happen, man. I'm waiting to see some people start singing, and I want to see some cuffs slapped on. I want to hear that cracking sound. When that's a distinct sound, man, when them cuffs kind of go around your wrist.
I'm ready to announce the whistleblower. I want to know who got mad and told.
Oh, the whistle. This was here. This is it. Check it out. This is what I'm reading.
But I don't feel like that's the real whistleblower.
Yeah, it is.
I want to know who really got mad.
I don't know how much whistleblower.
I know about the letter, but I want to know who got mad. Somebody got more mad than that.
No, what happened is the dude sued him. The customer that they said used 167,000 gallons. And then they didn't want to budge on his bill.
No, I want to know who worked there that got mad.
Oh,
because it ain't all about the customer. It's all about somebody that was in-house that got mad. Trust me.
Probably those calls.
That's probably who it is. Because customers been complaining about Pritchard for years and they bill.
And they ain't done nothing.
Right. It's something that's deeper than that. Trust me.
Yeah, they ain't done nothing. So check it out. Yeah, these are some of the travel charges, man. I'm just going to keep these up here, man, while we rock through the show, man, just so you can read them. Here we go. All right, 312, we got you on the line. You're on the big mic drop. Who we got?
Yo, yo, Rachel.
Rachel, what's
hey,
up,
Rachel.
Man? We got Rachel Wilkinson in the building. How you doing? Thanks for calling. Welcome to the big mic drop.
Yeah, man. My bad. I was trying to do it where you could see my face, but you know I'm up here. I just got through shooting my stand-up for my story here on Use of Force, so I'm headed home now.
Okay, man, we appreciate you taking time out. Yes. Hello, are you there? It's a little bit of a delay.
Huh?
Yeah, I said it's a little bit of a delay, so don't worry about that. It's probably like a 2-second delay, so don't worry about that. Sometimes we may overtalk on this, but it's okay. We'll catch up. Yeah, it is a lot going on.
You know, I'm used to that. We get a 2-second delay on TV. That's why you see us head bobbing all the time.
Well, hey, I didn't get a chance to catch you in Mobile, but I do feel I do like what you're doing, even from outside of Mobile. What made you stay connected to what was going on in the hometown?
Because them are my people. Like, it's my people. I spent 3 years there, and I told everybody that I was always going to be here, and that's the truth. And to be honest, I focused on Pritchard a lot. A lot of people already know that whenever I was there, I was out there doing stories, trying to get people right. Help with their bills, trying to get lights turned on in the city. Go drive down through there, all them lights that are on. I helped get those turned on. I just wanted to make a difference while I was there. And, you know, the cemetery story, it was in Pritchard. So it's just, I was there. I really connected with the people there. And my thing is, I don't treat it like a story. My focus is to help people. And
right.
That's why I was able to make a connection with people. And that's why people still sending me stuff to this day, even though I'm here in Indianapolis. And I'm
right.
Getting it out. And I'm also sharing it. And I'm not just trying to, you know, get an exclusive or break the story. I'm just trying to get it out there so people can get some help. So, I mean, I've been passing it to the home team, NBC 15. I worked there for 3 years. I've been helping out some other people within some other stations with a few things. So, you know, I'm here to help.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we appreciate you. I think you probably worked with my cousin Vance, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was trying to come on. I don't know if he's going to come on tonight, but I told him, man, he's out there with CBS. I'm like, man, let's try to get this thing national. I think it's a concerted effort. That's what it's going to take. But, yeah, it kind of grinds my gears. It really grinds my gears to see what they're doing to those people over there.
You know, and I kept getting, how does this reporter in Indianapolis, how does this reporter, but I think people forget that I've only been up here for 4 months. That's
right.
Really not that long. I'm still connected with my people down there.
Right, right, absolutely. Are you from Mobile originally?
No.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, so you just it was just a station you had, and you just kind of got welcomed into the community, basically. And then,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah, I was always doing something.
Right, right, absolutely. So when did you first get wind of this situation going on?
Well, to be honest, right before I left, I was looking into Pritchard. But I had my mom passed away in March, and so that's why I left Mobile. I left early. Thank you. I had another year on my contract, so I technically would still be in Mobile, but I left to come take care of my family. But I was investigating
right.
before I left. And I left in August. And so I already had a few things that I was looking into, but not nothing like this. You know, just a few little things. I was trying to focus on, you know, people's water bills, going around doing stories. How in the heck are you not reading the meter? You know, how are you just guesstimating their bills type angle that I was trying to take? But
so they were really doing that?
A lot of, yeah, they were guesstimating. Some people, they weren't reading, yeah, from what I was told. And even the attorneys that I've spoken to, even the attorney, Nia Bradley's attorney, mentioned in our interview that at certain times he was told that they were guesstimating from his point of view. That's what he was told at some point. Mm-hmm. But that's like a known thing, you know. And even if you drive down the interstate, you'll see, well, before I left, there's a billboard where they were trying to implement their new system that they've been trying to work on at Pritchard Water.
Mm. So how does this gross malfeasance, I guess that's the only way, you know, I've never seen anything or heard of anything this outrageous coming out of Pritchard. Now, you hear about a single person that stole, you know, this amount of money or that amount of money, but I've never seen anything to where it was so many people involved. What's mm-hmm. going on with that? Like, when did this start? Did this start with Nia Bradley and these people?
Well, if you think about it, if you really think about it, you've had some people in the community that have been trying to sound the alarm. One person that I can really think of is Katie Davis. She used to drop off documents and stuff like that at the office for me to look at and stuff all the time for years, talking about the water board. And she called them, like, the click. That was her thing. She had been collecting stuff, minutes, telling me how they weren't posting the minutes online and stuff like that. So you have people in the community who are already aware of this. You also had that letter that was sent out for the ethics, to the ethics commission. That was 2018.
Yes.
You had people
yes.
that were sounding the alarm, but nobody was really listening. But I also will say on that, I feel like a person really shouldn't give up. If you know something's happening, you need to speak up. And
right.
I was not aware of that complaint that was sent out in 2018. I did not know about that until recently.
Right. yeah, this I mean, it was pretty compelling. The last words in it, well, the last paragraph was help, 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 with like 10 exclamation points. We need help right away. These board members, Nathaniel N., Jayana Payton, and John Johnson, are surely placing the board in a position for which it will not be able to recover. Russell J. Heidelberg, board member. Now, did this letter, I mean, if it made it to the ethics board, then why wasn't something done? Why did it take, you know, this, or was, or did an investigation start at that time? Do you know?
And that's the biggest question. That's what a lot of people really want to know. I want to know that as well. Who looked at this? Who thought that they didn't need to take action? And if you did take action, what did you do? So I know that the local media is not giving up on that. I'm definitely going to ask those questions. I already reached out to the Attorney General's office. I know 15 has been communicating with the DA's office. She's holding a press conference tomorrow at noon. So that'd be a 1 o'clock our time. So you can tune into that. Maybe somebody needs to ask that question.
Yeah, like who should be held responsible for that? Because, I mean, obviously this guy reached out. You know, he said that they established a $5 million line of credit with Regions Bank. That was his last one. That was his last complaint on there. No discussion with any of the board members.
Right. And if you look at that, that was 2018. Begging for help, you have that $5 million limit, right? Now here we are.
Right.
2022, but that report was from 2021 or to 2021, and you have nearly $4 million spent. So this could have simply been avoided.
Yeah, absolutely. In which case, somebody higher up, maybe they need to break out the guillotine higher up, you know, and find out, you know, where they need to cut some people at, in my opinion. Because, yeah, this is crazy. I've never seen anybody say help. Like, he said help like 11 times. And then followed by 10 exclamation points. How can you not take that seriously and send people in? Unless it came across the wrong desk, but we'll go down that rabbit hole another day. Yeah, and I'm flashing some of the charges up here for the audience to see, Rachel. So, like I said, we appreciate you for joining us on that. Ronnie, do you have any questions for?
I just want to ask, who do we think that the ghost card belongs to?
Well, you know, I can't speculate, but I have asked that question, and a couple of attorneys told me that they could not comment on that. But I definitely have asked.
Okay.
I definitely have asked to see.
Do we think that it belongs to somebody on the water board, or do we think that it belongs to somebody like on the council or at City Hall?
You know, that's a good question. Right now, like I said, I can't really speculate on that, but those questions are being asked. And once I find out for sure, I'll be able to let you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Rachel,
thank you.
Man,
and then,
keep up earth,
yeah,
man.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It. Now, go ahead.
I
say
do
what
know
you
with the six-figure salary, you know, $300,000, that's a lot. The attorney told me that within her salary, she was able to have certain bonuses and certain perks. I know you guys probably saw the interview where I asked him, well, did that mean she could go out and buy herself purses and stuff? And he said he believes she was fully authorized to do that. But he said time will tell. So he's not the only person that I'm talking to. Like I said, I have a few sources that I've been talking to that are really close within the investigation. I'm told that there are furniture purchases from Wayfair, flat screen TV purchases, purchases from CVS, makeup purchases, household items, you know, just little things that you would buy at the store. Those are just some of the purchases that have not been released yet. Also spoke to the person who performed that, or who did the, looked at all the credit card transactions, and said that this was only 20% of what they found. So there's definitely a lot more to this. And the citizens of Pritchard just deserve to know what happened. This is a lot of money.
Well, we have somebody that posted Nia Bradley's independent contractor agreement. Like I said, I can't verify, you know, if this is really her signature on here, but I do have a copy of what appears to be, it says Nia MB, and August 25th, 2017, says it was approved August 23rd, 2017, a special call board meeting by Nathaniel Inch, in which case under the fees for services, it says that the Water and Sewer Board agrees to pay contractor $7,500 monthly fee for the services during the term of this agreement. No payment to the contractor shall be due for additional or different services or goods rendered other than those described herein unless any fees. Therefore, Water Sewer Board shall pay monthly fees regardless of the number of hours worked by the contractor. That's what it says for her salary and fees for her services on that.
So, so Mike, what if it's true that what she's saying is she's saying that things that she bought was approved? So maybe it's true that she was approved to buy these things. So maybe it's Mr. Maybe he has approved her to make these purchases. Maybe he's the one at fault. So maybe we're jumping the gun on that.
Oh, she's at fault, man. You can't. Nobody can approve you. Yeah, nobody can approve you to commit a crime. It has to be, you have to operate on some kind of common sense.
But what I'm saying to you, Mike, maybe he gave her this card and told her at will, you know, this is a part of your salary. Like maybe they're not giving her, maybe her salary is not what it should be. So maybe he told her, use this card. You understand what I'm saying?
I mean, I wouldn't have signed a contract if I were her.
But do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I'm understanding.
My thing is
she's hearing what she wants to hear because.
But do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I understand what you're saying.
It may not be morally correct, but do you understand? Like if her salary is $40,000 for a job that should actually be paid $90,000, he says, well, you take this card and you can spend this amount on this card. Maybe he told her she could do these things. Whether it's morally correct or not, maybe he did tell her, but go and buy what you want on this card. I mean, it may not be morally correct, but maybe he did give her the verbal go ahead to do these things, whether it's morally correct or not. She did it. Maybe she was told. Like her attorney said, maybe he did tell her to do these things.
I hope that's not her. I hope that's not her defense. I just hope that's not her defense.
I think that is her defense because this is what her attorney is saying right now.
She better come better. She's going to need to come a little bit better.
But this is what her attorney has verbalized.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say this. Go ahead. I don't know this attorney. And Rachel, you interviewed him. I don't know this attorney, but I will say this. It don't look like she spent the money. She didn't put money where she should have been putting it. If you're an attorney. If you're into this type of spending and you Louis Vuitton status, then you need to be like with Cowboy Bob Clark, somebody. I mean, just you need to have top notch. Am I wrong for saying that?
No, he told me to say, just because his degree wasn't on that one wall didn't mean it wasn't on the other three walls.
Right.
That's what he told me to tell his viewers.
And just because he was unshaved and his tie wasn't all the way to the top either, he looked like it was a last minute person that would take the case. To me, I don't know him. You know, he's welcome to come on here and defend himself.
He has been on. I do know he's been on some pretty high profile cases. He is on the Marco Perez case with Dennis Knisely. So I know he's been on some high profile cases.
Okay. Has he won?
I don't know him personally, but I do know he's done that.
He's done some pretty good work then. So she went and got the top notch then on that.
I can't comment on anything like that, but I do know he's just been on some high profile cases.
Nah, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, we appreciate you for joining us and taking your time with us.
Do.
Like I say, I can't thank you enough. The accountant came out with a statement today, and you put me on it right before I got on. And I want to pull that up. Let me find that real quick. Let me find the accountant paperwork. I'm sorry, I'm not. Oh, okay, I did. That was on your page. I don't think I saved it, Rachel.
No, it's okay.
Rachel, while Mike is looking for that, do you have any plans on ever moving back to Mobile?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that, trying to get me to come back home down there. So I would say, you know, I love that area. I loved being there. I love the people, just the relationships. So I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay, then.
Where are you originally from?
I am originally from Michigan City, Indiana. So towards Gary, Indiana area.
Well, Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago would have been my home market. So my family, if I went to Chicago, they would be able to see me on TV. But I'm here in Indianapolis, so I'm about 2.5 hours away from home.
Okay, cool.
But I was laughing. I saw some people thought that I had some family in Pritchard.
you say you have family in Pritchard?
No, that's what everybody was saying.
Oh, yeah. Nah, man, keep doing what you're doing. We had some people that wanted to come confront us on the show tonight. I see they didn't show up. Or maybe they watch
about
it.
About what?
Just us talking about the story. You know how hometown people are, man. They don't want you saying nothing. You know what I'm saying? So here's the statement from the CPA. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah. Here's the statement that you sent me from the CPA. And it states that in June 2021, the Pritchard Water and Sewer Board contracted me to assist with the performance of financial analysis and bond consulting. I did not perform an audit. In January 2022, three board members asked me to analyze credit card statements for the period of December 2018 to October 2021. In performing my analysis, I used the reasonable person standard. A common use of this standard is a test that asks whether the decisions made were legitimate and designed to remedy a certain issue under the circumstances at the time. Courts use this standard to look at both the ultimate decision and the process by which a party went through making that decision. In essence, I asked, would a reasonable person make these credit card transactions? As outlined in my report, the transactions brought to the attention of the board are not reasonable and do not align with guidance provided by the Alabama Ethics Commission. The members of the Pritchard Water and Sewer Board asked me, how could this happen? As a certified public accountant, I believe that all internal controls and safeguards failed due to lack of segregation of duties. One person had custody of assets, authorized a transaction, and then approved those transactions. The Fiscal Services Department also failed by not reporting the fraudulent transactions. Though two Pritchard Water and Sewer Board members filed ethics complaints, the remaining board members did not exercise their responsibilities. Let's see, the duty of care and the duty of obedience and the duty of loyalty. Finally, the certified public accountant the board contracted for the annual audit did not adequately perform fraud risk assessments. Members of the board informed me that the CPA did not annually circulate a fraud risk questionnaire that asked whether they had been notified of fraud or personally suspicions that fraud may be occurring, which is common practice in audits. My report represents approximately 20% of what I believe could be a $1.5 million or more fraud. In my 27 years in governmental finance, this is the biggest case of fraud I've ever seen. In my professional opinion, this may eventually lead to embezzlement, mail fraud, wire fraud, and credit card fraud charges. The residents of the city of Pritchard deserve better. And that was the CPA. Sorry, I was stumbling over the reading a little bit, but, you know, trying to go fast.
Bad business. That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, super sad. Any more questions? Anything else you'd like to leave us with, Rachel? What do you think this is going next? Is this going to stay with Ashley Rich, or is it going to go above her head?
Well, from what I've been told from the CPA, which is one of the people that I've been talking to throughout this time, which is where I've been able to get some of my information from, and I've just been told that this is huge. The findings are massive, something that you're not only hearing from this person, but from multiple people are saying that this could potentially be the biggest case of fraud that they've seen. So you're talking big time. I mean, this is a lot. So I know Ashley asked the Attorney General's office for some help, and depending on their findings, it could potentially go even higher. One person is calling for RICO to come in at this time. I know that that hasn't happened, but the feds are looking into it. So it's a big deal, and it's going to be a lengthy investigation as they continue. You think about the Kim Green case. That took a while. James Blackman, it just took a while. People found out what happened, of course the news broke, but then it fizzled out a little bit as they continued their investigation. So this is something that we'll be talking about next year as well. COVID still has everything backlogged within the judicial system, so you still have a lot of cases going on that this case is not going to be put on the forefront. So this will continue. People can expect to hear new developments in the case. The full audit is expected to be released any day now. So that's going to come out. You'll see more charges. You'll see more people unfold. There are other key players that are being investigated whose name may not have been released at this time. So there's just a lot of moving parts, and it's definitely a big story for sure. I mean, for the residents, for Pritchard residents, for Chickasaw residents, they definitely have a lot of concerns going on, you know, with their water bills, just with everything going on. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in for everybody.
So Howard Fulton wants us to ask you. He says, Lanyap said that the CPA is a female. Lanyap stated that Robert Hedrick did the yearly audit. Did he drop the ball on fraud assessments?
Now, I don't know if he is the one that did it that, you know, needs to be looked at, but I will say that he's not the one who did this analysis. They told me to keep them anonymous, so I won't say if it's a he or a she, but it is a different person.
Okay. Got you.
Rachel, I want to ask you also, are the citizens of Chickasaw complaining as much about their bills as the citizens of Pritchard? Because I haven't heard many of them saying that their water bills are as expensive as the citizens of Pritchard.
I always receive more Pritchard residents, but if you go through the comments and stuff like that, and I have a few DMs, some of them are saying, don't forget about Chickasaw, don't forget about Chickasaw. You know, we receive water from them as well. But I mostly receive, you know, concerns from Pritchard residents.
Cool.
If I didn't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah, most definitely. So does this question. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does this happen in 8 Mile often? Is 8 Mile water high as well?
It really just depends. Most of the people I know were like, that's a tough question because I'm not there anymore, so I really don't want to speak on that, to be honest.
You know,
I'm way up here. I don't know what other stations are getting.
Yeah, that's fair. I totally understand that. Well, any last words for the crowd? I know you're busy and you just finished up with your regular job. So do you got any last words that you want to leave the crowd with?
Well, my night is coming to an end, so I'm really not that busy now. I've pretty much gotten everything under control. But, you know, I just want everybody to know that I'm still here for them. I appreciate all of the support. A lot of people are in my corner, and I definitely want them to know I'm in there. That's why I'm still posting all of this stuff. That's why I feel like I'm getting the information, just because, you know, I was there for a long time, and I really worked hard to develop those relationships within the community so people could trust me to know, you know, I'm here to help, trying to get y'all some answers. So that's what I'm here for. My inbox is always open. My comments are open. Feel free if you have a problem. I know I'm up here, but I'm able to get it to the right person that can help you out. And, yeah, if y'all have questions, just hit me up. I know I haven't been really commenting back because there have been so many. So the best thing really is just to message me. And if you message me, then I'll look into it.
All right. Rachel Wilkinson,
thank you,
we appreciate
Rachel.
You. Award-winning investigative reporter, right? You won an award. You got an award. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? She gets to it. Gets to it.
Oh,
and we appreciate
I want to say shout out to that dude. He is so funny. I don't know his name, but he was cracking me up earlier.
Which one? The guy that was he was on the phone?
No, no. He did like some Facebook Live thing. He was funny. But any other questions from you guys?
No, no, no. We good. We good. I think if anything else develops, you know, I'll probably hit you back up. And then you see what you know. I'll share information if I find out anything.
Yeah,
but you probably
I know that I'll have a few more documents that I'm anticipating on releasing before Monday. So it's probably going to be Saturday, to be honest, that I have some more receipts and documents and stuff like that I'll get posted. Right now I'm just waiting for clearance. I am never one to try to hinder the investigation. So as you know, the first thing I did, I knew Nia's name had already been released. And I do want to shout out the paper, too, because although I did receive the report, I didn't get it out there right away. I was focusing on stuff up here. And they did, and I don't want them to feel like, you know, I'm trying to steal their shine. They're doing a great job. So, you know, people can tune in to the paper there, the Lane Yap. They're doing a great job.
Yeah,
they're doing great. They're getting information out. I'm just getting the same info. Looks like we got the same source. I'm getting it out on air and they're getting it out via paper. So that's how that's going.
Well, this is one of those things where everybody needs to be reporting and talking about this. I think the more people that talk about this, the better chances of something getting done for the citizens of Pritchard. And, you know, let people catch up, you know. We just need people to catch up economically as opposed to keeping people behind with this bull. So.
Right. It's not about us. It's about the citizens. And that's why, you know, the more the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Wilkerson, WRTV.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Man, that was pretty awesome, man. I'm glad Rachel got a chance to call
me
in,
too.
Man. Once again, shout out to her again. Howard Fulton asked a great question right here, Ronnie. I know you see, if Nia claims that the purchases are income and compensation, did she report the income to the IRS?
Hell to the no.
Exactly. Hell no to the no, no, no. Man.
I mean, I wasn't trying to be funny, Mike, but I mean, I really do believe in my heart of hearts. I'm not trying to be bitchy or funny. I do believe somebody somewhere told that girl that she could do what she did. Whether it was right, whether it was morally correct, whether it was ethically right, whether she should have known better, which I know she should have known better. She should have said no. She should have known better. But I do believe somebody told her she could do what she did.
Yeah,
somebody gave her the damn go-ahead. I know they did. I feel that they did.
They probably did, but it is a certain thing that let her know.
Somebody turned a blind eye.
But it's a
like
certain thing.
Just, yeah.
But it's a certain thing that let her know she couldn't do that shit at Daphne. And
she
probably
had
a she probably had a card too.
She should have had the angel on this shoulder and the devil on this shoulder. The good should have told her not to do it, and the devil should have told her to do it, or vice versa, whatever, and she should have listened to the good, but she listened to the bad, which most of us would have listened to the bad, even though we shouldn't have, so.
I'm not.
She did the wrong thing,
look, man.
Like a lot of us probably would have done.
I'm not getting into no RICO charges with these motherfuckers, so I don't know.
When Rachel said RICO charges,
I'm not catching no RICO charges with nobody.
I knew the FBI was going to be involved, but she said RICO charges, I looked at it in a whole different light then.
Hell yeah, this is serious.
I didn't think RICO, I thought just FBI, like I knew it was federal, but I didn't think of it in a light as RICO charges.
Right.
That's real serious. They start talking RICO.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, that's some real deal bull.
Yeah, that's
so yeah. So man, look man,
that's
we're
not
going
15-year charge. They talking about 30, 40-year charges.
Oh yeah, you going down. You going down.
They should have been gone a long time.
So I didn't want to stop this show without listening to this, man, because this was a press conference from Napoleon Bracey. It's very telling. Like Frank Seltzer says, she should have never been in charge in the first place. She didn't qualify for the job.
Yeah, she definitely didn't have the qualification.
She definitely didn't qualify to drive with the damn company vehicle with old reckless driving charge. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe on this video as well. Let's take a listen to.
You said basically.
Can y'all hear that?
It can be a little louder.
Can you hear it now?
Yes, sir.
That's perfect.
Yeah, basically, if you look at the budgeted amount, and we're talking about $50,000 a month for about 48 months, and with that time frame taking place, that's money that's leaving the budget, and it's already a cash-strapped city. The residents are, most of the residents are extremely poor or elderly in that community, and it's already been a burden placed on them by them having some of the highest water rates in the area. In Mobile County, they have the highest water rates, and I'm sure also close in the state. And so this is definitely an unfair burden that's been placed on them. It's affecting the bond rating, which will also force the board to take actions to raise water rates to cover that bond covenant. So this is definitely a lose-lose situation for the citizens of Pritchard, and most importantly, the senior citizens in the city of Pritchard that's already on fixed incomes and just barely making ends meet.
So those who are guilty of taking part in these actions, what kind of punishment should they get? What kind of punishment do you think they'll get?
I can't speak directly to the severity of the punishment that they will receive, but what I am asking is that they be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I'm asking that the DA's office in Mobile County be as aggressive as possible with them. I'm asking that the Attorney General's office be as aggressive as possible, U.S. Attorney's office, because this could very well be a federal crime, be as aggressive as possible, the Alabama Ethics Commission to be as aggressive as possible, the Alabama State Auditor's office to be as aggressive as possible, and also the examiners of public accounts to be as aggressive as possible, and to go back for at least 10 years, because we believe that this has been going on for a long time, and that way everybody that's accountable for these actions will be held accountable.
Did Pritchard receive any COVID relief funds for the waterworks through the CARES Act or the American Rescue Act?
I'm not exactly sure about that, but I know with the funding that we just most recently passed, for the sewer projects, no, they were not included in that funding.
Do we need to reform how we do corruption investigations in the state of Alabama?
I think we need to be more aggressive when it comes to violation of public trust, and definitely in situations where it's concerning the taxpayer dollars and the broken public trust of public officials, just like at the Pritchard Water Board.
Any idea why Pritchard didn't get any funding from the recent ARPA fund?
Okay. The reason why, from my understanding at that point, is most of these were systems that were already in dire condition, like a lot of them in Lyons County. And that list kind of created itself based off of the need of those communities. And so communities that were not in that dire of strait did not make that first cut.
Does the high water rates and the uncertainty that this places over Pritchard going forward mean that more residents and businesses will locate in other communities like Baldwin County and just bypass Pritchard in the future?
I think anytime that you're in the media for negative things, it can negatively impact your economic development for those communities. Also, high water rates. When you can compare, if you have an industry and you can compare the water usage that you would use and how much those rates would be, I think very well people would look and see where they would want to locate their business and industry based off of the infrastructure and the bills that they have to pay.
Mr. Bracey, you said investigate going back 10 years. If you do that, are we talking maybe millions of dollars with this issue, sir?
Yes, sir. I think if we're just looking at the last few years, we're looking at between $3 and $4 million already. So I think it's going to be a lot of things that should come out in this. The manager, Ms. Nia Bradley, is the person that's been on the forefront of this. And so she's been the person that's been in the media the most. But it's my understanding that it's about seven people, seven different credit cards, possibly also a ghost credit card out there. People are just spending wildly and freely like the rich and famous off of the backs of the poor citizens. So I definitely think that that's something that we need to look at.
Should we bring maybe the state bring a civil action where we claw back all this money that these people have accumulated in their homes, businesses, personal accounts, luxury items, whatever they've gotten through this?
Yes, sir. I would like to see everything that's been purchased with these illegal funds be confiscated, and I would like to see all of the money paid back. Some citizens right now that have absorbent water bills of north of $3,000 a month, and with water bills of that price, I know some have contacted an attorney and they are looking at some type of action. I'm not sure if it will be a class action or singular action, but I think they are looking at some type of action.
$3,000 a month.
Yes, sir.
How does a food truck disappear?
Hey, he couldn't even.
The mic drop.
I want to know the answer to that.
Hey, man, appreciate the shade on the part of whoever that white dude is reporting, man. I appreciate
that.
How
does a food truck disappear?
Yeah, man. Hey, man, shout out to world class man Noble in the building, man. We got Noble in the building.
Noble.
Yeah, I put him up there, man, when Rachel was on, man, but I didn't want to. You know, break in the middle of what she was saying to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let's find out how this food truck disappears.
What food truck disappeared?
Where would you find it?
Oh, somebody bought a food truck.
I have no idea for that. apparently, that I would think that would have to be an inside job for somebody to be able to do that.
A bunch of bullshit.
We've seen expenses paid. We've seen college tuitions paid at a couple of different colleges, also a trucking school. We've seen bills of almost $9,000 to Gucci, $17,000 to Louis Vuitton, first class airfare, five-star hotels, resorts, just major credit card transactions. Almost $100,000 on Mardi Gras throws, $6,000 at one stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Georgia. They've been all over the country, almost like globetrotters. They've just been freelancing and spending the taxpayers' dollars at will. And that's one of the reasons why I think we should go back, because I think that the board members at that time should also be held accountable. And if any of them are currently serving on the water board, I think they should resign. These water board appointments are six-year appointments. And if this is happening under their watch, then they also have to be accountable. I understand that.
Now, okay. He lost me there. I don't know if you picked up on that. I don't know if y'all picked up on that out there. So he said that.
I heard him.
He wants them to go back 10 years to investigate, but these water board appointments are six-year appointments. So where are them other 2 years at? Who was there in them 2 years he kind of left out? Because 6 and 6 is 12. That's not 10. So I would try to probably go back. Well, I guess 10 would be the 4 years of this one and then the 6 years before. Maybe so. Thought I was being smart on that one. Thought I was being smart on that one. But, yeah, hey, you better be thinking. Everybody talking about you out there, Ronnie. They say you looking fly. They love your hair.
Tell them I'm mad because these headphones messing up my afro. I had it picked out real cute, but then my Bluetooth was giving some kickback, so then I had to put these headphones on. But thank y'all. I love it. Love that y'all loving it.
Hey, where was Bracy when the chairman was begging for help? Like I say, I don't want to speculate. I don't want
to say. They really need to go back 20 years if you ask me, because these water problems did not just start. This shit been going on.
And
before Frank, Neil Bradley, they was having problems with the water board.
Well, Frank said the only person that's been on the water board that long is Heidelberg.
Hmm.
I want to know who Ghost is.
That Ghost card.
I don't want to stop till I find out who Ghost is. Flight Power, dog. Who's Ghost? Who's Ghost?
I would love to know, too, who's holding that card.
Well, let's finish this. This was a very interesting press conference to me.
Employees have done wrong, but on top of that, the city officials and the water board members actually took an oath to the citizens, and they must uphold that oath. And whenever they get to the point that they derelict their duties, then they need to step down and resign. And I can email them if either one of y'all needs a breakdown of some of these expenses.
That would be very helpful.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have any other questions?
Do you believe that the investigation will uncover even more people having been involved? Or are you confident that all of the guilty parties have already been identified?
I think it will bring to light more people. One of them is a Ghost credit card. So at this point, I don't think, unless it's just recently occurred in the last few hours, that we know who that Ghost credit card belonged to. That'll give us some idea. And I also heard recently today that Ms. Bradley's attorney said that her expenditures were approved. And if they were approved, we need to know approved by whom.
I believe it.
Indeed, by a board member, then they need to also be held accountable for not being good stewards of the taxpayer dollars.
So when you start talking about credit cards, isn't that kind of teetering on federal offenses too?
I would think so. That's why I think the U.S. Attorney's Office in Mobile should look into this. I definitely think that these are federal crimes.
Boy, when the feds get up on your damn ass, but when the feds come in, I just think people probably thought this was a game, man, and they didn't think it was gonna go as far as it went.
Because people been getting away with stealing shit and preaching for a long time. But they didn't think it was gonna. They didn't think they were gonna get caught.
Yeah, they didn't know it was gonna be them. And you know,
no, they thought it was, yeah.
Sometimes when you make them fatal mistakes, man, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna do your few years in the bean.
I feel sorry for the citizens.
Yeah, the person with the Ghost credit card had a few charges, mainly like church, Word of Faith Church.
But you know what? The person with the Ghost credit card is probably the head dog.
Yeah.
Because all of the charges that Neil Bradley was making was not for herself alone. Some of those charges were probably for the person that holds that Ghost credit card as well.
I don't know, man. Because like I say, Nia Bradley's charges, the charges with her name on it, what I think happened is I think when they went on them trips, and it's just speculation, I think when they went on those trips, different people paid for different parts of the trip. So different people paid for all the airline tickets. Because if you notice, one person purchased 5 airline tickets. Then somebody paid $2,400 for a room at the, you know, at a hotel.
Right.
And then,
right,
you know, somebody paid this exorbitant amount for dinner. You know what I'm saying? So they were just pulling out swiping cards. They
right.
Weren't paying.
That's
no
why I say that Neil Bradley, everything on that card that Neil Bradley bought was not everything just for herself.
Maybe for the traveling, but I think when you start talking about Louis Vuitton and Gucci and all that, I think that was her. Them Louis Vuittons is a 17 grand at Louis Vuitton is a purse and some more stuff.
Well, maybe that,
yeah.
But I mean,
Gucci, Netflix. What else she had? Hulu, Target, TJ Maxx, JCPenney.
I just want to know who wearing that much contact lenses? Does she sell them out of her trunk?
Nah, man, she probably was getting the colors. They said different colors.
Was she selling them?
Nah, they was probably her prescription.
$23,000 for what was the amount, though?
The amount of contacts? Let me pull this thing up here.
I'm just curious.
I got the charges pulled. I got the charges.
And what did they buy at Word of Life? A pew?
No.
Or some choir?
They were probably tithes. They probably swiped a credit card to pay their tithes.
When you pay your tithes, it's 10% of, it's 10% of what your yearly income
Not in non-denominational churches. They expect you to go all in for them. I mean, but you're still a fool for doing this, though. Let's look at the mesmerize. Yeah, so it looked like $1,500 for the contact lenses, $1,000, another $1,500. So somebody else was using the credit card. So all these women were buying these contact lenses. They weren't all just Nia Bradley. So you look like you had somebody with the Pritchard Water Works and Sewer Board card. They bought $2,500 worth. Cordelia Leggett bought $1,000. Nia Bradley bought $1,500. Nia Bradley, $2,500. Pritchard Water Works and Sewer Board, another $2,500. So whatever these things were, one's $2,961. The other was $2,467. They may not even been contact lenses. I don't know.
Is one of the people that used the card named Lewis?
I don't see Lewis on there.
No, okay, because I can't really see.
Yeah.
I have my glasses on.
My buddy said somebody had a boutique. Now, see?
That's what I was wondering, That's where I was going
you
with
see
that.
What I'm saying? That's why you my nigga right there. You see what I'm saying?
And didn't somebody go to Sally's beauty salon?
Oh yeah, Sally's
store.
Victoria's Secret.
Somebody got sexy for their man.
Premier Driving Academy, Louis Vuitton, Columbia, Southern, a return at Gucci $4,000, then another purchase for $2,100. That was Nia Bradley. You know. So they were just mixing and matching charges, man. But like I said, man, at some point in time, man, you gotta not be a fool. At some point in time, this is what's going to teach folks, man, that at the end of the day, certain things your excuses ain't going to work for. It's just not going to work for. You're not going to get that money back to those people, those poor elderly people in Pritchard, man, that are on fixed incomes and y'all taxing them like that. I'll say this. This is just it could be a special spot in hell for people who do stuff like that to people. Frank, you're right. Bradley is just a fall guy. But when they put that pressure
That's
on her,
exactly right.
She's going to start talking. It's going to get deeper. You're going to find out who's who. Because that girl is not going to take all them damn charges. Not by herself. You're going to find out who Ghost is and everybody. Because she's not going to take all them charges. Ladies and gentlemen, here you have it, man. Like I said, the name of the show was The Crisis in Black Leadership. You know, and when you go from Dr. Martin Luther King's and Malcolm X's and, you know, Rosa Parks and Sojourner Truth's and Harriet Tubman's and Frederick Douglass's and Mega Evers and Ralph Abernathy and Hosea Williams
and Marcus Garvey.
Marcus Garvey, Marion Barry. You know what I'm saying? When you go from that to this.
And
just a matter of two generations, man. Like I say, unless we plan to have a future, man, we better start kind of looking back in the history and trying to emulate some of these people and leaders that we had. And let's try to recapture our values as people, as human beings. That would be my last words on this. Any last words from you, Ronnie?
My last words are, why haven't I heard anybody? Everybody is on Facebook blasting these people. I haven't heard anybody say, let's start a GoFundMe for these old people in Pritchard that cannot pay their water bill. I haven't heard anybody doing anything positive. Everybody is going live and talking about reporting live from notice, reporting live. Nobody has said, let's try to help these people pay their bills. Why? I think somebody should be doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cloud Nation asked, am I going to do a group economic stream? I could try to put a group economic stream together. We've done them before. You know, we've done them before. So, yeah, definitely subscribe. I think I saw you subscribe to the channel, so thank you for that. Subscribe to the channel, and we're going to be having more serious conversations, including group economics. From that to niggas for sale. Absolutely. We went from that, niggas for sale. I mean, we're hell-bent on putting ourselves back in slavery. And if you keep voting for these folks, you're voting to put yourself back in economic slavery. That's what I feel about it. Ronnie, I appreciate you for joining me tonight. I appreciate Rachel for stopping by. And I appreciate the callers who called in on the show. Nobody's on the line no more. So, yeah, I think we're going to pull the plug on it. Hey, uh-oh. Hey, not the old Cash Money brothers. You know it's bigger than Nia Brown. Timo, I love it. I love it. Hey, man, don't forget to hit the Cash App, too, man. Let me go ahead and put that out there, man. If you like what you hear,
man. And, Mike, we got to do better because we had planned this entire month to do something for Black History Month for you guys, but we've been slacking. We got to do better next week.
We ain't been slacking.
Next week, I'm going to be absent next week.
Yeah, you're going to be absent. I'm about to say, we ain't been slacking, man. We ain't been slacking. We just couldn't merge this type of people. We couldn't even have good black folks in a show like this today. I'm sorry, we just couldn't. We couldn't like put the Sidney Poitier and the ancestors. We couldn't even bring them into this. Let them folks rest on this mess. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Let them rest in peace, huh,
Mike? Yeah, rest in peace, man. Don't bring them folks into our mess, man. We got enough problems.
Because they already turned over their graves looking at us.
Absolutely. I guess World Class says what's next week. Oh, man. Visiting home. It's time for Mardi Gras, ain't it?
I'm going to be traveling.
Yeah, yeah. You going to Mardi Gras?
I's going home. I's going to be traveling.
I'm jealous. Don't use no water in Pritchard. Man, I appreciate you, Ronnie, for joining the show this evening.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie LeDoux in the building. Man, we had a good time this evening, man. I appreciate y'all for joining us, man. Like I said, once again, thanks to our special guest, Rachel Wilkerson. Y'all follow her on Facebook, man, and check out what she got going on, man, the WRTV in Indianapolis. She still cares about Mobile, and she's, you know, putting out the news on this story, man. So, and also check out the Lanyap newspaper. Shout out to the Lanyap. These are people we're getting information from. Shout out to you, Mr. Fulton, for sending me that contract as well, man, so I can look over that. So regardless of what anybody's saying, they need to produce some paperwork stating that they were paying Nia Bradley $12,500 per month, because the paperwork I'm looking at says $7,500 per month. So we can start there. This your boy, Big Mike, man. It's been another Big Mike drop. We'll see you next time. Peace.